one of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. We made it.
Thank you.
Draft day 2024, the first round at least, the second and third will be tomorrow. The rest of the draft, of course, on Saturday, but the first round of the NFL draft tonight. We've got you covered all day long. You guys sounded fantastic this morning on the round table. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. Thank you to Stakey and Mike and Smoke and Joe. I had a good time and everything getting ready for, you know, something. It just, I don't want to come out like, you hate the process of it because I love the NFL offseason and everything. It's just I'm just tired of scenarios.
Yeah, well, there just isn't much more to say.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's like, just kind of all there
it's
is.
It's just like, let's just go and get this out the way and everything like that. And as we were talking, you know, I'm so excited for these young men and everything. I go back and I was just like, you know, we didn't cry. You know, we were happy. Everybody cries now. And I went back to figure out when the crying started.
Okay.
It was damn Vernon.
Vernon Davis?
It was Vernon. Vernon started all that crying. He did. But, you know, that's what happened. Vernon started to cry.
And they were like, that guy's tough. He's a tight end. We can cry.
Everybody started damn crying and everything, man. But, no, it's a great day today. Obviously, you know, when you're a little boy, I want to say a vision board, but you always say it's first time you pick up a football. I want to be an NFL football player. And a lot of these young men are going to get the opportunity tonight, all weekend. And just because you're not picked today, it's something that I learned. It ain't a fact of being humble. It's the fact is that, okay, they don't mean nothing. I mean, it means money, obviously. Yeah. But you can always find a way to make that money.
But it doesn't have to mean about your career.
Nothing.
It's like, okay, this is how they view me.
Yes.
Like, that's basically all they're telling you is we think this guy at this position, we're going to take him. And, I mean, look, to be drafted at all or even signed as a free agent or however you make it onto an NFL field and play one snap is incredible because 99.99999% of people that played football don't make it that far.
Correct.
To be drafted in the first round is, I mean, come on. To be drafted at all, come on, is insane. And then, like you said, yeah, I mean, then after that, then the work starts.
Yep.
Then it's up to you to decide what your career is going to be.
Because it's different now. That's the thing. And that's why when we were talking about Marvin Harrison, remember him not doing all that? I love his reasoning. I love his reason. I'm training to play football.
Yeah, I mean,
and I just love that reasoning behind it. And we were talking about it. You were like asking if more guys were going to do it. Well, not a lot of guys are him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Some guys will think they are. And maybe they'll do it.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, there are certain examples in sports, in life, but in sports where some people are just different.
I think he's the cleanest prospect in this draft.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think he's the cleanest
prospect. I do, too. I mean, I think you look at all the different guys across the board at all the different positions. I think there's a lot of really good players. But if it was positionless and you're just going talent for talent, he's the first guy. And that's why he can do that. And it's not going to affect him. And it led to some, I guess, some hot takes or gave people some opportunity for clickbait or something like that.
I don't know about him. I like to compete.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you want to say that and you want to go out there, there was some nonsense that came out yesterday about Caleb Williams and some general manager said it would be like he's like the prince of football, which is a compliment to me.
Right.
Like, Prince is great. He's one of the greatest musicians
damn
of all time.
Is.
If I can get a quarterback that is in the pantheon of quarterbacks, like Prince is in the pantheon of musicians, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so he paints his fingernails. Whatever. Relax. A lot of people paint their fingernails.
You know what? That ball come out pretty.
Comes out great.
With them fingernails painted. Like,
sure
does. Don't really stop.
It sure does. No, I know. But again, like, that's the stuff that I don't like about this process because it has gotten to – this just super, I don't even know what the right word is. It's just, it's bigger than anyone probably ever could have thought that it would be. Everything in the NFL is. But the draft specifically has gotten to this outrageous level of, it's the biggest content generator of the offseason.
Oh, no
doubt. Of course.
No
and doubt. So, you know, with that, we know what comes along. Sometimes it's nonsense and whether it's, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't want to compete, or this about that guy, or last year was C.J. Stroud and the Manning camp and the test, like, all right, stop. Like,
please.
You have to remember the way that this goes and then what guys do.
Right.
Didn't matter. C.J. Stroud was the rookie of the year.
You took it right out,
and he won
a
playoff game. Okay? So just keep that. Like, when you're doing this again, it's almost like people have amnesia, you know? It's like sports fan amnesia. Every year it's the first time something – it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're gonna just try – whatever it is. They're trying to generate content to get you to click it and listen to it. And you don't have to. You don't have to buy into that stuff. Marvin Harrison's going to get drafted in the top five.
Yes.
It's going to happen tonight.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
So all that stuff is nonsense. Caleb Williams is going to go number one.
Yes.
So people can say whatever.
We'll say the barn's in the hay. The hay is in the barn.
The hay is in the barn.
Yeah.
The barn is at the farm, and everything's fine. Okay? I don't know where the barn is. It could be anywhere. There's a lot of barns.
Yeah. But I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you on all that. It's just like, what do we always, we mentioned since we've been together, we talk about it a lot. Like, at this point, teams are trying to figure out why not to draft you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things. And what I mean by that is that everything is done. All of the evaluations are done. All of the security thing is done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are the boards done? I'm pretty sure there are some people calling Terry right now.
Sure.
And saying,
probably.
And not necessarily saying if a player's there. It's just like, what are you thinking about tonight if we want to get up there and all those different things? I'm not saying Terry's giving a scenario of what they might want in compensation. But, I mean, you kind of know what you want. I know a lot of people still go by the Jimmy Johnson draft board, the value of picks and all those different things when you talk about, especially when you're trying to get into the top 10 of the first round, how much that's going to cost you and everything. But I look at it, and I always viewed it this way when people talk about, well, if you want, say, and I'll just use Dallas Turner. If you want Dallas Turner at 8, well, just move back to 11, you can get him. What makes you, if you want him, then why not take him at 8?
Right.
Like, don't get – extra compensation greedy, thinking that, oh, I can move back and then he'll still be there.
Right. It's also not a guarantee. None of that is guaranteed that you have to have somebody that wants to trade to get up to 8.
Right.
Of course, that's always the thing. But somebody might take him. Like,
yeah, exactly.
If you really want him, you know what I mean?
If you really want a guy at 8, take him.
The worst thing that can happen is you think you're cute and you do something like that, and then you're sitting there at 11 and he goes at 10. And then, I mean, you have another guy you like, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, like, you just missed out on the guy that you wanted because you thought you were going to outsmart the room.
It happened twice in the last two drafts.
It happens.
When Buffalo jumped Dallas to take Kincaid.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew Dallas wanted Kincaid.
Yep.
And everybody knew that, damn, the Jets, they wanted Broderick.
Yep.
And the Steelers. You know, but so you never, ever, don't get cute with it if you think you got the guy that you want. Because – I mean, for an extra third or something like that, if you lose your guy for an extra third, that's not worth it.
Yep.
It's not.
No, and that's why I love what Greg Cosell was talking about yesterday when we were talking to him. And it's easy for him to say because he is a guy who just breaks down tape and talks about it. Like, that is no skin in the game one way or the other. But he's saying, look, if you – there's nothing wrong with being right, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, people want to say overdraft and whatever. Like, if Bijan Robinson goes on to be – the best running back in the history of the franchise, or Kyle Pitts unfortunately has been hurt and it hasn't worked out the way that you wanted to, but like, it really doesn't matter who you take and where you take them.
Right.
You just have to be right. Like, if you take a center in the first round, you better be right, like 11 of the 12 teams that have done it in the last 20 years have, right? Like, that just happens to be the position that is most commonly gotten right in the first round of the draft. I mean, you take the quarterback at number 2 that everyone is convinced is going to be a home run hit and it doesn't work, you don't get to go back to your owner and be like, well, everyone said this was the right thing to do. It was supposed to work out. We took a quarterback at number 2. That's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, you failed. You get fired. Like, that's the way that it goes. It's not – and again, I get that there's pay scale and there's all kinds of different factors that go into it for the general managers and the teams that are making these decisions. The bottom line is – just be right, get the best players, and win football games. And if you do that, then you're probably going to keep your job.
Exactly. Your employment will be sustained.
Yes. There is no greater guarantee of employment in the NFL than winning.
Yes. I mean, you could be the worst. You could be the meanest. You could be all the different things that you want.
Yeah.
You win. It's all good. And as we talk about on a roundtable, that's the thing when we talk about this team here. They need to win now.
Yep.
You know, it ain't no
– as we bring it back here.
It ain't no easing into nothing.
Hasn't been a lot of winning going on lately.
You know what I mean? You got to win here, now, all right? Because this – and I hate – no, I'll say it. This division should be a cakewalk for the Falcons.
Yes,
I think it should be. I think it should be.
I also feel like it should have been for the last handful of years. I understand you were tearing it down a couple of years ago. I mean, yeah, I get it. Yeah. But, like, yes, this division has been the worst in football the last couple of years. Mm-hmm.
And they've been one of the worst teams.
And you haven't won it.
Yeah. I mean, but, yeah, going to get back to the draft. Like, there's so many good players. We know about the quarterbacks. We know all quarterback classes that are like this that have this many names. I don't want to say good player. They were good college players. And that's the thing about it. They were good college players.
Yeah.
But reaching for quarterbacks is not something that is new. We know that, right? We know that if there's a quarterback with these names that they have, whoever's the fourth quarterback usually or the fifth, they're going to get pushed up. And for some reason, we know that J.J. McCarthy seems to be that guy in this draft. He seems to be – he's the one guy in the draft that I think everybody's looking to see where he goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And only him right now in the first round. Obviously, Michael Penix and Bo Nix and those guys are there. But I think he is the one that when you look at – who goes and gets him and where he gets him pushes better players at their job than him down.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think we often talk about where the draft starts. Maybe it's at three with New England. I think it really starts with whatever happens with J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody jumps up to get him at four or five, whatever, if not, if he slides down, I just think what happens with J.J. McCarthy inside that top 10 determines so much of what else happens around the draft.
I agree.
And again, like we've said throughout the last couple of weeks, as you're sort of zeroing in on what your ideal scenario for the Falcons is, if you want them to maybe be able to trade back and get more compensation and all of that kind of stuff. Best case scenario is three quarterbacks go, McCarthy slides, he's there at eight, and then Minnesota
that's what we want.
Whatever. Like, Minnesota's the best because you get two this year.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that's what you want. Will it happen? I don't know. I mean, if J.J. McCarthy is viewed to be that fourth guy, it's not that you don't have to look that long in the past to see quarterbacks getting way overdrafted. Yeah. Like that 2021 draft. I mean, I know Trevor Lawrence is still there in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. All the rest of those guys have been traded. Like,
traded.
And that's 3 years ago.
Traded to be backups.
Oh yeah, like Trey Lance might never
exactly
be a starter in the NFL ever.
Exactly.
Like, he was drafted third overall by a good franchise.
And the thing, like, with that's. The thing with it, and we talk about how the draft, what if it, because, and I go back to last year's draft, and here's why. I remember Will Levis was a lock. Boy, Will Levis at five or whatever, that's a lock. He's going, he's going to be there. And then he ends up going to second day, you know what I mean?
He sat in the draft room all night.
That happened.
He was last year's green room.
It happens, though. That's the thing about it. And that could, same thing could happen with J.J. McCarthy.
It could.
It could be all this smoke for no reason. And it could be the same. Because everybody thought Will Levis was going. Remember the whole Mac Jones was going three to, and Mac Jones slid to 15.
Yep.
In New England, he didn't have the trade up or nothing.
They didn't move.
He didn't move, and he just slid there.
Yep.
You know, and so, I mean, this is always the one thing when you read reports and insider mock drafts and all those different things. Just like Emery was telling us, you read it so many times, you automatically assume that that's how it's supposed to be.
Right. You've seen Dallas Turner at eight so many times that you're convinced
that's what it's going to be.
And maybe it will be.
And you never know.
Maybe.
Like, Dallas Turner is a good player.
Yeah, if the Falcons
have Dallas Turner,
by the end of the night, if we're coming in, if we're going to Flowery Branch tomorrow morning to talk about Dallas Turner, to interview Terry Fontenot about drafting Dallas Turner, I guess maybe we'd talk to Nick Saban. I don't know. But whatever. Like, we're not going to talk to Nick Saban. Okay.
Man,
but
Nick ain't studying nothing, man. Nick,
he knows Randy. He's the coach.
Nick on the golf course, man.
Yeah, he's playing golf.
He's doing draft coverage. Yeah, he's doing draft coverage.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah, right.
But whatever. Like, if that's what we're doing tomorrow morning, great.
Yeah.
Then they finally took the best pass rusher available to them in the top 10, like we've been asking them to do for
Dallas
a decade.
Dallas Turner is a Falcon this time, I mean, whenever tonight.
Yeah, this time tomorrow.
Around 9:15-ish. If he's a Falcon, I'm not going to be like, damn!
Yeah.
Like,
If Dallas Turner's a Falcon this time tomorrow, then they address their biggest need.
Yes. Which, pass rush.
Great. Because, again, we've been really – have we mentioned we want him to address the pass rush?
Yes.
I think we've been saying that for every day since we've been doing this show.
Yes.
Last year, we asked just be over 500 once because we had never had an over 500 Falcons. We got to talk about an over – they didn't finish over – we should have clarified. Next year, we want them to finish over 500.
Yes.
Okay.
Finish.
Also, we've never been able to talk about the Falcons properly addressing the pass rush as Andy and Randy in the middays.
So we need to do that.
Maybe tomorrow we will be able to, whether it's Dallas Turner or Latu or whoever. That'd be great.
Yeah, it would.
I would be excited.
Oh, man.
I'd be so excited if they did that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. Braves with another nice one last night. I kind of like when the Braves do what they did last night. you know?
Dude, fish fry? I love that.
Yeah, very well done.
Why am I the only one I've heard
very well done by Brandon Dunn. We'll come back. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
Ground ball, stopped by Riley, comes home. What a play! What a play! Gordon is out.
What a great play.
Well, and the rule is Travis positioned great. If the throw takes him into the line of the runner, there's nothing he can do, and that's not against the rule.
Yeah, just an incredible. We talked about it yesterday. Austin Riley's defense seems to have taken another step. And great play last night. Didn't have to be like that. Ronaldo Lopez with another fantastic start. Here's how good Ronaldo Lopez has been. He went seven innings, gave up one earned run last night, and his ERA went up.
Yeah,
that's how good he's been through
he's
his
really
first
good.
Four starts.
He's really good.
And, you know, Iglesias came in and was like, you know what?
I don't feel it. I want to, you know what?
This has been too easy. We've allowed one run in this entire series. Like, let's make these guys play a little bit, you know? And I'll be honest with you, like, this is the nature of the Braves fan right now, because you could be like this. It's, you could be so greedy and just like gluttonous about what this team's capable of.
Yep.
I'm glad when they win games like that, because they need to stay sharp. You don't need to just be beating the Marlins 3-1. You need to go out there and you need to have some pressure at times. You can't go a whole week without there being like a pressure packed moment. So I'm glad that Iglesias did that. I wouldn't be surprised if Iglesias was like, you know what? These guys need to sharpen up a little bit. Difficulty level is too low.
I think that's some bull.
It is, but it is. But no, the part about me liking it, though, isn't. Like,
oh, no.
I like that they have to come up with big plays that matter rather than just skating to a sweep of the Marlins and not having to break a sweat.
The fish fry,
you got to stay sharp.
The fish fry with the white bread and the hot sauce. That's what they had over there yesterday. And Iglesias did it. Whatever. I'm not going to say I knew what was going to happen, but it's not like every time he goes out there, I'm just automatically, and I will stand by this. When he goes out there, I never automatically say they got it. I'm sorry. I don't. As good as he was and all that, everything, as good as he is a closer, him, for some reason, I don't be like, it's automatic right here, baby. Don't do it. But, yeah, they found a way. Great job by Michael to lead to walk off and everything like that. But, yeah, they had to go out there and get it. You look for individual performances. Like I said, Lopez was outstanding yesterday. And when you look at, we were talking about Austin Riley, his plays in the field, outstanding. Matt Olson, he needed something.
He got a hit.
That's what I'm saying. He needed something.
Yeah.
And it was a positive something. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing. Oh, Grizzly Bear second, man. That's his nickname for me. Little Grizzly Bear.
That's what you're calling Guillerme?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the play, Nate?
Yeah.
Little man got some lateral quickness for yo, you know what?
No, he does. He's a nice.
Like, I was like, damn.
He's a nice utility infielder.
Dude, I was like, well, I did.
So you're calling him Little Grizzly Bear?
Little Grizzly.
Okay.
Little Grizzly.
But it isn't Marcel's the big bear.
Yeah, he's the big bear.
Okay, so he's a big bear. Yeah. Guillerme is a little bear.
Because Guillerme is what, 5'5"?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's like squatty. Yeah, he's squatty.
He's squatty, yeah.
Yeah, he's squatty.
I don't think he's 5'5". He's not like Altuve.
But he ain't no taller than 5'6".
I think he's 5'10".
No.
Well, at least that's what it says. But the program lies sometimes. So, okay, so if it says 5'10", he's probably 5'8".
Yeah.
All right.
Squatty. 190, that's what it said, right? 5'8", 190. 5'8", 190, squatty.
Yeah.
Yeah, squatty.
Yeah. Shout out to all the 5'8", 190 dudes out there listening right now, by the way.
Squatty.
You guys are doing fine. Yeah. It's all about proportion.
Yeah, ain't nobody saying you. I'm not saying you. Squatty don't mean fat.
No.
Squatty means squatty.
It just depends on where it's at. You know what I mean? Like, it could be wearing it high.
That's
like,
it.
A lot of shoulder weight.
Squatty means squatty.
But if you're 5'8", 190, you have huge calves.
Yes, you got,
you definitely have big calves.
You got big legs.
Like, Abe. That's about right. Like, 5'8", 1 something. Higher?
But you like, you 200 pounds? No, in the damn way.
No way.
You were 200 pounds.
Still are?
You still are?
Huh.
Put a little back on, fellas.
I think you look great.
I didn't know you were. I know the old Abe was like too, but I thought you lost like 80 pounds.
And then he found some of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens. Yeah, like, you lose it, you find it. You lose it, you find it.
That damn Crown Peach with them extra calories, man. Guzzling it.
You
like
got
to
switch
do.
To vodka sodas,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dog. You got to switch
like
it
Mike
up.
Bell.
Yeah, dog. You got to switch it up. You got to switch it up, dog. Like how I did. You got to switch it up, dog.
Yeah, man. Right, just the Bush Lights and straight Tito's.
But you got to supplement something for all the Bush.
What does that mean?
That means that you can't. I can't eat fried chicken and everything like
right,
that.
Right, right. If you're going to.
If I'm going to do Bush.
You got to give something else
I got to give something else up.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean? And that's what I do.
Got it.
That's what I do.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Fair
Randy's
enough.
Diet. Randy's Bush diet.
The Randy gotta, Randy Keto.
Yep, the Randy Keto on Bush. You know, the typical, they have those little things. That, well, yeah, I got to have so-and-so amount of these intake. You got to sacrifice something that you might like eating for the Bush.
Like food.
Yeah. No, I still eat. I still get my appropriate amount of calories a day.
Sure.
I always get that in. But yeah, sometimes you got to sacrifice it for the Bush.
That's a good message for everybody out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to sacrifice it for the Bush.
Yeah, no.
Here's Terry Fontenot, the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, who I would imagine is very happy that today is today, as much as any of us are. I'm sure he's happy that the draft is here. He's probably very busy right now. I'm sure his phone is ringing a lot, and he can't wait for the draft to get started tonight. Here he is.
Where we're going to guard ourselves as if, look, if you, like you said, some really good players could be staring at us. And if you got this impact dude right here that we know is going to make a difference, whatever position that's in, and then we got more of a need down here, right? Let's get this dude because you know what? Two, three, you know what I mean? You're getting him for the next 5 years, right? So then, and then you look back a couple years from now and look back and say, man, why didn't we take this guy? He could have really helped us right now, right? So that's where it comes into play. But that's where the discipline comes to stacking the board correctly.
That is a hope that I have for this pick today, is I hope that it's not this year, next year, ever really, but anytime soon. Where you're like, man, we could have had this guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that always happens.
Especially when they do the redraft thing.
Yeah. You do the redraft. Yeah. I mean, it's like pretty famously over the last handful of years. It's like obviously T.J. Watt with Tack McKinley. People bring that up a lot. Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Nobody saw it from Micah.
Nobody saw
it
from him.
The one, and we talked, it might have happened right after we got the show, the extension for Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knew Penei Sewell was going to be as good as he is.
Everyone did.
Everyone knew.
Yeah, there was absolutely no question that he was going to be an excellent offensive lineman.
Yes, everyone. And so that's why he was rewarded the way he is right now. You know, and I'm with you. Like we were talking about it before. Me and you mentioned it the previous show was like, it's always that. It's always going to be what if. Just the same way that people try to get on analysts all the time and everything because they make a wrong pick or something and say some guy was good or something and it didn't happen. Same way that most people.
But some picks are what if proof.
Yes.
Like if you make the absolute, like if you take. You take Dallas Turner, and Dallas Turner gets 12 sacks the next 3 years each year. No one's going to what if that.
No.
Like, oh, you nailed it. You got the best pass rusher in the draft.
Right.
Great work.
Right.
Congratulations. But if you took, I don't know, any other pick that they've made over the last handful of years, and people will always be like, oh, that guy was there?
Yeah.
Could have had that guy.
But the thing about it is, whatever happens tonight, I'm speaking specifically here, and it's not where it was, who was mocked there or nothing like that, or maybe an analyst like Mel's like, oh, it's a little too rich for my blood.
Of course, people are gonna. Yeah. No matter who they take,
right.
there's no pick that's what if proof on the day of. I'm saying there's picks that can be what if proof down the line.
I agree.
If they prove
like
to be really, really good,
just like draft grades,
exactly.
Just like the draft grades that are gonna come out on Monday.
Yeah, it's nonsense. Don't pay attention to that stuff. It doesn't matter.
Huh?
Do you gotta at least wait 3 years before you grade a draft? But don't do that.
Hell, at least let them play.
Don't go back 3 years and grade that Falcons draft from 3 years ago because you're not gonna like the grade that one gets. But, yeah, man, like that's absolutely what it is. People are going to be mad no matter who they take. Some people are going to be happy no matter who they take. They're gonna be like, yeah, that was my guy. That's who I had mocked. That's who I mocked to the Falcons when I was doing my mock drafts. Can I reveal something?
I'm listening.
Since it is the day of the draft.
I'm listening.
And maybe if you want to keep sending them to me, you can. But I've had a lot of people send me mock drafts, and they'll say, grade my mock draft. And I've given everyone the same grade.
A+. There you go.
Every single one.
Yeah.
So I just want to let everyone know out there that you all did great.
Oh, I mean, when I get them, good.
A+ everything.
I don't grade them. I don't grade
them. Because they ask me to. Grade my draft.
Grade like how?
A+.
How do you know if it's A+?
I don't.
Okay.
I just want to make them feel good. Yeah. I just want him to be happy.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the I appreciate the mock drafts that are sent to me. I appreciate the effort that you do because
that's
cool.
All it is. A plus effort.
It's cool and you're curious and everything like that. Exactly. So I appreciate it. But I'm not going to grade your draft because I don't know. I don't know.
But A plus for effort.
That's the thing about it. He's a good player. I'm not one, oh, you took him at eight. He's not a good player. I'm not going to say that. You know, these guys, like Dallas Turner is a first-round draft pick player. Jarrett Verse, first-round draft pick player. You know, if you take him somewhere else, if you take somebody else there, I just don't get up in arms because, like, you're being – getting compensation and maybe a basic – third-round pick is not worth losing your guy to move back three spaces. It's just not. That's my thought. It's not.
I agree. Just get your guy.
Just get your guy.
And then, after you get him, make sure he's really good.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
because,
all.
Because, I mean, the thing with it is...
Why don't more teams just do that?
Because, you know what? When you draft them, you think that.
Well, because they are good?
Yes. Yeah. When you draft...
Everyone that gets drafted in the first round tonight is an incredible football player.
And you think that, hey, we got a winner. There's not one team that's ever drafted a kid that said, he might be good. No, you automatically think you got it. That's why you see him slapping, hugging, woo. And then all of a sudden, after 3 years, you're like, this sorry.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't work hard.
Oh.
Oh, he doesn't care about football.
Oh.
Oh, he's got a drug habit.
Oh.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, we put him around bums.
Oh.
We put him in a situation where he just wasn't going to succeed because, oh, we switched offensive coordinators every year
and
that
he was
here.
You know what happened to those guys that just said that?
Fired.
Moving along.
Yeah. But you know what, though? They don't they're not gone forever. Like, they go get to be an analyst or they get to go be like a like an assistant general manager.
Do you
want to
be
scout
the – I don't, there's nothing wrong with scouting.
Nothing.
No, I want to be the man.
Well, of course.
Because if I ain't the man, I'm taking Thomas Dimitrov's route. I'm going to ride bicycles and chill and go on podcasts and give my knowledge.
No, Thomas Dimitrov.
Man, Thomas, he is living life.
Has nailed it.
Now, Thomas, he was
a general manager for 15 years.
And he would rather be a general manager
still,
than chilling.
Sure,
yes, than
sure.
chilling. Don't get me wrong.
You can't, if you're a general manager for 4 years and you get fired, it's harder to go do what he's done.
Right.
Thomas Dimitrov has 15 years of general manager money, plus all the money that he made was when he was in New England as well.
I don't know about that.
What?
You know, New England, they cheap as hell.
Well, but I'm sure he was doing okay.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, he came here and got to be the general manager for the Falcons for 15 years.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I want to
You
be
can
that
go
guy.
Ride bikes
like, Terry,
after that.
Like, I would, like, Terry Fontenot, like, this is his, you say it all the time, this is Terry's time.
Mm-hmm.
This is Terry's time. This is Terry's time to get there, get this roster, improve it the way it is. There is a glaring hole. You need a pass rush.
Yeah, they don't have.
There's another
pass
glaring hole. You need another corner.
Mm-hmm.
You need two starters on your defensive line in this draft.
That was
on your defense.
That was going to be the next segment. What's the bottom line for this draft? The absolute must have for the Atlanta Falcons.
A good player.
Many of them.
Yes. A good
somewhere
player.
Between six and eight good players.
Four.
Four good players.
Four good players. Four good players that can contribute right now.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look, I understand. Yeah. The seventh-round draft pick, there's a decent chance he's probably not going to play. But maybe. You never know.
Yeah. I like Hellum. I'm a big
dude,
fan.
Dude, that guy starts for them right now.
I'm a big fan of Hellum. Hellum's starting.
Last year's seventh-round draft pick is the starting safety.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. But what is the bottom line for the Falcons draft? Enough goofing off, all right? Enough beating around the bush. We got to get to the bottom line coming up next, and we're going to tell you what it is, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The most exciting offseason in Atlanta Falcons history continues. Your direct connection to the team is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Always streaming live on the free Odyssey app.
We're talking with our general manager, guys, Terry Fontenot.
As we transition to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Raheem Morris, who joins us right now.
Atlanta Falcons quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who joins me now.
The latest on your new look Falcons and exclusive coverage of the NFL draft. Only on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the free Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
And now, here's another Andy and Randy listener.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. These two are good enough for television, but they look a lot better on radio.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. NFL Draft Day, round one. Finally upon us. We've got you covered, man. Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer live from Mercedes-Benz tonight. Smoking Joe Patrick was in here for the roundtable with you guys earlier. We were just talking to him during the break. He'll be on with us in the 1 o'clock hour today as well. He'll be on tomorrow also with John Fricke and Harper LaBelle, the Wade Ford tailgate crew, bringing you rounds 2 and 3. And then Saturday, Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan have you covered for the final rounds of the draft. So, I mean, don't go anywhere.
Yep.
If you have to go somewhere that's outside of our signal, download the Odyssey app.
There is nowhere.
Take us with you wherever you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, like you said, we got you covered all weekend long. And me and you, we'll be up at Flower Branch tomorrow.
Yep.
Obviously, Duke's Bell will be on after. They're down at Mercedes-Benz today. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, because last year, we didn't get to talk to Bijan.
I think they did.
They did.
I think they got to talk to Bijan last year. Because
it usually is right after our show. Because usually tonight, he'll probably, whatever time he gets drafted, he'll probably come straight from Detroit here and then, you know, get all this logistics and all that done and then probably have his press conference. I think Joe Patrick was telling me it's like 3 o'clock tomorrow is the press conference.
Whoever it is, we'll get down here and sit down with Dukes and Bell, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because they'll be up there tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
And so we'll get a chance, if last year is an indicator of this year, we'll definitely talk to Terry Fontenot.
Right.
Pick his brain about how they made the decision, everything that went into it, and then obviously talking to him about tomorrow. Because tomorrow, the thing about it, we spend so much of the time
on the
with
first
the draft
pick.
Talking about the first pick, and I understand why. There's a lot of different reasons.
I'll never get you said this when we first started doing the draft together. Like, teams are built 2 through 7.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Of course, what you do in the first round, I mean, you know that more than anyone, obviously, being a fourth round draft pick and then being a vital part of multiple NFL teams for 11 years. Like, it's not just the guys that get drafted in the first round, because most positions, honestly, like, yeah, quarterbacks usually are first round draft picks. Number one wide receivers often are first round draft picks. Maybe your left tackle. But, like, by and large, most positions are drafted in the second, third, and after that. So, tomorrow, and who knows how many draft picks they might have tomorrow based on the way today goes. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is just as important as today.
Dude, I was just looking up today because we're talking about who's going to be the number one pick. Chicago only has 4 picks.
Yeah.
In the whole draft.
Right. 2 in the top 10.
Yeah, 2 in the top 10.
And then that's it.
And that's it. And you got 2 other picks. And I'm thinking, like, okay, if you're Chicago sitting at 9, because they gave up the second round pick, obviously, for a player who's better than the second round player.
Right.
And talk about Montez Sweat. Mm-hmm. Do you find a way to move that 9? Do you want to get more picks? Do you, if you're Chicago, because you only have 3 draft picks, and we know who the hell they're taking at 1. So you have 3 picks after that for the entire draft. Do you find a way to maybe get somebody up there? It goes back to the whole quarterback thing. We're here now, but I just don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top 5.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
I just don't. I just look at it from a standpoint, it's one of them Will Levis type things, because I think Will Levis is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. Sorry. But I just think it's one of those things where he's going to fall out of the top 5. I just don't – like, I don't – I got my list right here. Surprise teams that would take a quarterback, the Giants. I'd be surprised. The Falcons, of course.
Sure.
The Titans.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Now, I do see the possibility of them moving back. Like, the Titans feel like almost as much of a written-in-stone pick as the Bears do at 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone knows the Bears are taking Caleb Williams at 1.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like everyone in the world feels like Joe Alt is going to Tennessee at 7.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe he will, maybe he won't. They need him.
I think DJ put Lathan at 5.
Okay.
Put him in front of Alt and everything like that. Because the Chargers, you don't know where they are. Now, I think I laugh so hard when people are saying that that Jim Harbaugh, J.J. McCarthy is solid.
Which would be what? Let someone trade up to get to that spot?
Yeah, to get him.
But there's also no guarantee. Like, he doesn't know who they're getting. You know what I mean? Like, if they trade with the Vikings, it doesn't necessarily mean they're taking J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, the Vikings could trade with the Chargers up to 5 and take Penix.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It could be anybody right now. I think that – I do think that
– I hope he goes before McCarthy. I hope Penix goes before McCarthy. Yeah, I lost to him in the national championship game. At least make some more money than him today. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, there's just it's so many different, like, you know, the scenarios with the whole draft, because I think after a while you get bored. You just got to make stuff up. Like, what if this happened?
Uh-huh.
Well, that could happen.
Absolutely.
I'm hearing that, all those other things. That's what the whole thing leads up to 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And it's going to go on until 7:56.
Yeah, when's the latest you can actually post a mock draft and expect someone to look at it?
7:56.
But, like, it immediately becomes irrelevant if the fourth pick is not your guy, right?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like, I mean, everything is is always whenever somebody gets the first pick, they're an expert. No, everybody kind of knows.
I think we all know who the first pick is.
I think we're pretty sure who the first pick is.
Caleb Williams is going number one.
Yes, they're
going
to have when Roger comes out, Chicago, you're on the clock. The camera's going to pan right to him.
Yeah.
He's going to sit there. They're going to make him wait like 8 minutes. The phone's going to ring. They're going to pick it up. Then it's it's on from there.
He goes up there, he hugs Roger Goodell, holds up the Bears jersey, puts on a Bear hat, whatever. I think Jaden is two.
Okay.
I think he goes to Washington. But that's where it gets to the, I mean, I wouldn't bet money on it, you know? Like, I'd bet the house on Caleb going number one. Right. After that, I mean, I would bet less money, I guess, and maybe get better odds on Jaden going number two. But three is the one that's the crapshoot. I just don't know. Nothing would really be wrong. Like, no matter what New England does, it wouldn't be
be
wrong.
Because they need a quarterback of the future.
They do.
I know we can say they have nothing around them. Wish they don't. But,
they have nothing. So no matter what they do, it's right.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't pass up the fact that, or be blind to the fact that you need one of those guys to win this league. You got to have one of those guys.
Right.
And I'm not saying, because the one thing about Drake May, as much as people are talking about J.J. McCarthy in positive ways, a lot of people are talking negatively about Drake May. His footwork, misses easy throws, you know, all those different things. And I always look at it, when do you give the quarterback the benefit of the doubt from his previous year when everybody was like, this dude is a lock, to this year? When he lost a whole lot. I mean, that was the biggest thing with
the they lost a lot of talent.
Lost a lot of talent around his offense and things like that. And stuff like stuff like that does happen. And so do you take that into account when you're viewing a prospect like Drake May? The dude is athletic as hell, comes from an athletic family, big, fast, can make all the throws.
Yeah, I mean, he's built in a quarterback lab.
He is. But he would be in a good spot in New England simply because you got Jacoby Brissett there.
Right. Like, you take him, and then maybe you can allow him, like you were talking about yesterday, maybe you can allow him the very rare luxury in modern NFL to sit for a minute, whatever that looks like.
When a coach comes out, especially when he gets a job, new coach comes out and says, I need you to be patient with us. He know they're going to stink.
Yeah. Right. That's,
he know they're going to stink.
Patient is NFL for we're going to suck.
Yeah. And Gerard has come out and said, you know, just be patient here.
Anytime any team asks you to be patient, they're basically just saying, please don't be mad that we're not very good.
Exactly. We're going to stink. We're going to stink this year.
Also, you have no obligation as a sports fan to be patient ever. You don't have to be patient. You could be as irrationally impatient as you want. It's your time, it's your money, it's your emotions, all right? Just because somebody's like, hey, be patient. Like, no, I don't want to. You be patient.
You don't be patient.
I might get hit by a bus tomorrow. Why don't you try to win a championship?
I need you to put some pep in your step.
Yeah, well, why don't you pick it up a little bit, all right? I'm done being patient. I'm a Falcons fan. My life has been patience, okay? Why don't we get this thing together and try to win now? All right, so here's where we go with the Falcons. And it's not just tonight. It's tomorrow. It's the entirety of the draft, however many guys they select. What's the bottom line? What's the moral of the story? Where does the buck stop? When the hay's in the barn and everything's said and done, what do the Falcons have to get accomplished this weekend? The end of the day, when the day's over, when the sun sets, what other cliches
they
do we
need?
Have?
They need by the end of today? Today?
No, the end of the weekend.
Oh, the end of the weekend. The Falcons have got to come out with two defensive starters.
Okay.
Definitely two defensive starters. A versatile defender, a guy who can play, you know, he might not start, but he can play in the nickel, he can play
Two starters and a third wild card, a contributor, whatever.
Because
maybe
right now,
it's a pass rusher, maybe it's a safety,
they
I don't know.
They need a starting corner and a starting defensive player.
And maybe two on
maybe,
the line. Like, because they lost a lot of stuff off a line last year that wasn't that good.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what goes back to what I always talk about in drafts. What about the guys that was drafted previous years?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm not even just talking about them. I'm talking about the fact that some of the – I think the two biggest sack guys last year are gone.
Yeah, they are.
Dupree and Campbell are both not here right now. So guys that were here that – look, I'm with you, man. I hope Arnold Ebiketie continues to get better, and I'm sure he will.
He has.
And I'm sure that he will. Harrison, like all these guys. D'Angelo Malone, but like – it's not just that I am not sure what they are, but that's part of it. It's that you literally lost guys that were good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys that were better and more productive than them last year aren't on the team anymore. So not only even if they were on the team, you'd probably need to draft a pass rusher because yes. your pass rush wasn't good enough and it hasn't been good enough, but they're not on the team. So you really need, you need multiple guys on that defensive line. You need a defensive, you need an interior defensive lineman. You need an edge rusher or two. And yeah, that's why I would have absolutely no problem if they found a way to move back from eight into the early, what, 11, 12, 13, where those quarterback needy teams are, get more draft picks and be able to stockpile. I mean, there's a world in which they trade back from 8 to, what, 11, mm-hmm. where the Vikings are, get 11 and 23, and they get Dallas Turner and Latu.
Yeah.
There's a world in there which is. That takes place.
There is.
Which would be the best world.
There is.
That would be the world yeah. I want to live in.
So you can't, because you can never have enough of it. You can never have enough of it because of how valuable the quarterback is and how valuable it is to affect the quarterback. You know, and you look at it from, you know, who's getting these big dollars. People who make the quarterback better, receivers,
yep,
offensive linemen,
yep,
specifically tackles, mm-hmm. and who gets them up?
And guys who make the quarterbacks worse.
Yeah, the guys who
pass rushers and corners.
yep. Okay. Pass rushers and corners. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you look at this safety market, Justin Simmons is all first team all pro.
Not long ago.
Ain't got a job right now.
He's just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Like, this is what's going on right now. They're waiting, and I'm sure he has a lot to do with it. It's also like, I should retire the draft.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, somebody's going to pay me.
Somebody's going
to
pay me.
And you can pick a good team to go to.
Yeah. But that's when you look at the draft, and we were talking earlier this week about different players. Specifically, I was talking about corners, like Gilly and Xavier Howard, those type of corners that can come in and immediately start if you don't get that guy in his draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you go back to, well, there's a corner right there, but how good is the corner?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, last year we saw the philosophy was we're going to improve the offense through the draft, improve the defense through free agency.
Yes.
This year, clearly, they improved the offense through free agency. Yes. And so that means they have to improve the defense through the draft. And that's why I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't have a problem if they don't take an offensive player until Saturday.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, and that's yeah. what, I mean, you need to get another probably receiver, somebody who's down the down the draft a little bit. I don't know. What else do you even need? Like an offensive lineman to sort of fill out that room, but you're not getting a starter.
Maybe.
You know who your five starters are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have two guys that can return both punts and kickoffs.
You do.
So you kind of have that. I mean, you're pretty well set offensively. Now, all that said, they'll probably draft a wide receiver at 8 tonight.
Obviously, if Rome is there.
Hey. Then.
What Greg GC told us, they got their Roman Dunze.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't agree with that 100%. Like, I think London and Adunze are similar, but there's differences. Like, Adunze is a lot more explosive. He gets open better than London does. He's a little bit quicker than London is,
okay.
I feel like.
All right.
But, yeah, they're good contested passes, big body kind of stuff, but if Odunze was in that draft, he would have got drafted before London.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Even though Drake was the first receiver.
Yeah.
Damn, they're picking at 8 again.
8 again, 3 years in a row. That's the other bottom line. Don't be drafting 8th next year.
Yeah.
Dude, if they're drafting 8th next year, there's a lot of people that don't have jobs that have them right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. All the big headlines from across the league as it is the day of the first round of the NFL draft right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.